Okay, so at the end of last year, we talked about the stira between Sif Gimel and Sif Hei in Simen Resh Nun Gimel. Bekitzer, the stira hinged on the following question. In Sif Gimel, it says that if you put the upside down pot on top of your fire, it is a din of garfakatam, so that would permit hachzara, but it wouldn't permit nesina lachatchila. And yet in Sif Hei, kedera al gabi kedera, so then we Paskin like the Rashba, that Nesina L'chatchila is mutter. So the question is, what's the difference between the two? Both cases, you have a pot in between your food and the fire. In one case, Nesina L'chatchila is mutter, one case it's aser. So what's the difference? So the Mishnah Berurah thinks that the best answer to this question is that of the Prima Gadim. Prima Gadim says that the difference is whether the bottom pot is full or empty. If the bottom pot is empty, so then it has a din of garfakatam, so hachzara is mutter, but you need tanai chazara. And if the bottom pot is full, so then even nesina l'chatchila is mutter. Why is that? Because the Rashba says in that case there's no mechzika mevashel, and therefore since there's no mechzika mevashel, it is mutter. If the bottom pot is empty, even though there's not chnochshash chitui, because it's garfakatam, it's covered, but nevertheless there still is this concern of mechzika mevashel, and therefore it is aser to do nesina l'chatchila. Why is it that an empty pot has the din of garafakatum, but there's still a concern of mechzika mevashel? So we suggested that's because sometimes you cook with a barrier between the fire and the food, a barrier similar to the upside down pot. We gave the mashal of what is called a diffuser. A diffuser is something, is a kitchen device that's used to diffuse the heat. It's basically a blech. You want a really low flame, so it diffuses the heat from the flame. And these are not used commonly nowadays, but they still have them. There are 10 different models on Amazon of diffusers. And that being the case, that's really what a blech is. A blech is a diffuser. And the upside down pot is, as they say in the name of the Rav, nothing more than a crooked blech. So a upside down pot, a crooked blech, a diffuser, all these things still have the concern of mechzika mevashel, and therefore nesina l'chatchila is aser. Whereas a pot which has food in it, so then typically you would never cook something on top of a pot full of food. And therefore, since you wouldn't cook on top of another pot that's full of food, so there's no mechzika mevashel. You had such a pot that it was normal to cook on, like a double boiler, then of course, nesina l'chatchila would be aser, because then it's mechzika mevashel. But typically, that's not the case. That, by the way, this distinction is the basis for the idea of the ketera blech. The ketera blech was someone's invention. They've sort of gone out of style because I think a number of poskim weren't so happy about them. But the theory behind the kedera blech is that we're going to make a blech that allows for nesina l'chatchila. Well, how are you going to do that? You'll make the blech basically a kedera that's full. So it's a blech that you fill up with water, and then that would allow nesina l'chatchila. I've never actually seen one. I think Ike has one. You could ask him about it. But basically, it's in theory, it's a blech, but it's not a blech. It's a pot full of water. You fill it up with water, and then you can then do nesina l'chatchila onto the blech. Now, some have argued that it's not that the heter of kedera gabi kedera is only when you actually have a pot that's cooking on the fire, and then like your chalent, and then you could put the second thing on top of it. You could put your potato kugel on top of the chalent. But over here, where it's not actually cooking anything, it's not like anyone's going to drink the water inside the kedera blech. It's simply a it's basically a blech, so it's a double blech. It's two blechs with some water in between, but it's not really a kedera. So there's some debate whether this actually works or not. But the theory behind the invention of the kedera blech is exactly this, this idea of the pre-Megadim. So just to again, summarize, what would come out, basically, according to this, is that there are three levels. There is gaba, or kisui al-chalala, and we saw that's simply where you cover the fire. The fire is covered. Like in a kira, the kira sort of had this hole in it where you could put a pot into it, and you simply put the kisui on that cover. So we paskin that this is not even considered garfakatum, even though the fire is covered. Again, perhaps the Rambam would say it works. That's the Bi'ur Halacha at the beginning of the Siman. Maybe the Rambam thinks that that kisui would create a din of garfakatum. The Chazon Ish disagrees with the Bi'ur Halacha. He thinks the Rambam would say it's not. But l'halacha, that debate is irrelevant, because even whatever the Rambam's view is, we don't accept the Rambam Shita. We say that the merely having the fire covered is insufficient to even create a situation of garfakatum, even though we paskin ketima kol shehu works. And l'chora, that's because it has to be somehow nicker. Now, nicker could mean it's a hecker, or like we saw from the Rishonim, nicker probably means it's nicker mitoch maisav, your megala das delo nichalei betzimukei. And if this is already the normal way of using a kira, then it's going to be asar. So lamashal, nobody thinks halach lamaisa. Again, whether the Rambam disagrees or not, yesh lion, but nobody thinks halach lamaisa. Let's say that you could put that an oven without any adjustments is considered garfakatum, right? Aye, but the fire in the bottom of my oven is covered. There's everybody. If you look at the bottom of your oven, if you have a gas oven, there's a metal plate that separates the fire from your food. That's why you don't see a fire at the bottom of your oven. There is a fire on the bottom of your oven if you have a gas oven, but you don't see it. Why not? Because it's covered with a metal plate. Nobody thinks halacha lemaisa that is considered garfakatum, because even though it is true that the flame is covered, that's the normal way you use the oven. And therefore, certainly it's not sufficient. Again, that might be a discussion in that Magen Avraham that we saw last time, and the Bi'ur Halacha that we saw last time. But bottom line, simply covering the fire in a normal way in which the fire is covered does not even give it the din of garfakatum. To have the din of a garfakatum, you need something that is somewhat unusual or beyond what is normally done. Now, if that's true, once we accept that, you might have thought that and this brings us to level two, the Kedere Kanis, Sif Gimel. You might have thought that if that's true, then a Kedere Kanis shouldn't work either. We, after all, saw that Kedere Kanis is somewhat normal, right? That was the diffuser, right? That's why we paskin that there is a concern of Mechzik Mevashel. So it's not obvious that a Kedere Kanis can give you the din of Garfakata, but we paskin that the Kedere Kanis does. And the reason is because by putting the Kedere Kanis on, you are showing lo nichale bitzimuke. You're uninterested. You're lowering the heat. You're making this less effective. You show that I'm not interested in maximal heat. I'm taking this unusual step to put a separation. It's and therefore it is mutter. Therefore it is mutter. That's the idea of Kedere Kanis. Again, we mentioned that the Chazon Ish says that the Kedere Kanis would have to, is only mutter because it significantly reduces the effectiveness of the heat. Without that, it's not nikar mitoch maisav. We are makel on that shaila, and we think that no, a regular blech would work because it somewhat reduces the heat, though we would agree that aluminum foil that basically negligibly reduces the heat is garnished. We should point out that this explanation of the Prima Gadim is one explanation. There's another way you could say the Pshat in the Prima Gadim, the Samachronim accept, and that is that the difference between, right, let's say, just clarify, what are we trying to explain? The difference between one and two. One is just the regular Kisui al-Halala, where we say that does not give it the din of garfakatum. Number two is the Kedere Kanis, which we say does give it the din of garfakatum, even though it's still machzik mevashel. So what's the difference between the two? So the way we were explaining it is because the kisui al chalala doesn't show, it's not megala das that you are mesiach das from chitui, from tzimuk, whereas the kederi kanis does, even though it's still somewhat normal. Another way to say it, and as I said, this is the perspective you'll see in some of the svarim, is that the first thing, the regular kisui shel chalala, really becomes part of the normal oven or stove or the like. It's batel to it. It's just a piece of the thing. And therefore can't, it's not something that's external and separate, which can serve as grief of a ketima, in this case ketima. It's batel to the kira, to the tanner. Mashen kein, when you have this kederi kanis, that's an independent entity, and therefore it's not batel to the kira, and therefore because it's not batel, so therefore since lamaisa covers the fire, then it's going to be okay. And that's why a blech works. A blech, you know, if you had a blech that was part of your stove, let's say you had a blech on hinges that, you know, was attached to your stove and you could pull it up and put it down, okay, that would be that would not be a grifa uktima. That would be part of the stove, and it would be like the case of the kisui al chalala, which is insufficient. But because it's just a separate piece of metal that has nothing to do with your stove, you know, stoves don't come with blechs, and maybe in Borough Park they do. I don't know, but even then, it's not really part of it. It's a separate piece that you use to cover the fire. So that's why it's going to be okay. All right. So that's the first two dargos. And then the third dargo, like we said, is keder gabi kedera. Or according to Magen Avraham in Kuf Nun Tes, a levena would also accomplish this, the levena putting the brick. And over here, we're even matir nesina lechat chila, as long as there's no chash bishel. And why is this different? So in this case, certainly you have the hacker, and it's certainly memaitis a home. But there's an additional factor, which is that it's not mechzik mevashel. Now, does this fit into any of the categories in the Gemara, right? Does it fit into any of the categories of the Gemara? So we saw that the Rashba, at the very least, compares this to bitzad hamecham or bitzad hatanur. Basically, again, a point that we'll hopefully get to today, it's comparable to the discussion in the Gemara of smicha. In other words, just like under certain circumstances, you're allowed to put food near the fire where there's no chashash bishul. For example, the Gemara says you're allowed to warm up water near the fire as long as there's no chashash bishul. So too, you're allowed to warm up your food on top of another pot. And so that is where this third category comes from. Okay, so adkan, the three categories, and this is basically a sum up of the shear from last time. So we pointed out, for example, that are you allowed to do nesina l'chatchila onto a plata? So Rabbi Willick thinks that the answer is yes. The reason is because the plata should be equivalent to the case of keder gabi keder, assuming that there's no knobs on the plata, so there's no need for grifo ktima. So therefore, the only concern is mechzik mevashel. And since these platas are not designed for cooking, and they're not meant for cooking, and almost nobody cooks on them, so then there's no mechzik mevashel. And yet, even though theoretically you could cook on them, but it's still not going to be mechzik mevashel, because practically speaking, nobody does cook on them. They're not meant for them. We talked about why some object to this last time, but that's Rabbi Willick's psak. If you take a look at the Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Aleph, Simen Sadi Aleph, and it's also quoted in the Shabbos Kitchen, at least the old version, page 42, Ha'ara 3. So he says the following: you can put Nesina L'chatchila if you have a Kedera Rekanis Agabe HaBlech. Meaning to say, you have your blech, And now you take an upside down pot, let's say those aluminum pans are very easy to use, especially if you get the thinner types, the baking sheets. So if you want to do nisayon lechatchila on a blech, here's the etzah. You could do a kederei kanis on top of the blech. Now, why would that be? First glance, you could say this shouldn't help. Why shouldn't it help? It's just the blech is the same thing as a kederei kanis. So kederei kanis doesn't allow nisayon lechatchila. So why should a kederei kanis al-gabi kederei kanis allow for nisayon lechatchila? Well, that doesn't make any sense. But according to the Shevet Alevi, the Shabbos kitchen, here we could be make. Oh, and this is important because this way, if you have a blech, there is a way to do nisayon lechatchila. How so? Because the way I think that he presents it is like this. If we think about the Prima Gadim, there are two potential objectives to doing the Sina Lechatchila al Gabe Ablach. Number one is the way we explained the Prima Gadim from Samach Ronim, that the Blech is Mishamish the Kira. It's Batel to the Kira. So therefore, it's like Mamed al Gabe Akira, which we said is Aser. We look at the blech as simply covering of the fire, but it's batel to the unit. So if that is your concern, so maybe the blech will be batel to the oven, to the stove, but the kederei kanis on top of the blech won't be batel. There's no reason to assume two things would be batel. We certainly would see, at most we'll say that the first kederei kanis is batel to the stove, but not the second. So memela, kederei kanis, agave blech would solve that problem. And the second potential objection is that it's ein derech bishul, it's derech bishul b'kach, that doing the sinel chatchin al blech is aser because it's derech bishul b'kach. And the answer is that this is not, because nobody cooks on top of an upside down pot anymore. And kavachomer on top of an upside down pot on top of a blech. So basically, what we're saying is that there's two objections to doing the sinel chatchila on a blech. Number one is that the blech is batel to the stove. Number two is that that is still machzik mevashel. So if you have a kederei kanis on top of a blech, then you solved both of those issues. So that is an etzah, that if you have a blech, if you're using a blech and you want to do the sinel chatchila, so the etzah is to put a second kederei kanis on top of the blech, and that would solve the both potential objections that you might have. Now, I just want to point out another resolution to the stira between Sif Gimel and Sif Hei, which obviously has nafkaminas. And the truth is, we'll see, it's a kula and a chumra. Maybe a little more of a kula than a chumra, but there's a kula and a chumra. A different approach. This is the approach of the machtzis hashekel. Then, ad kan, we've been talking about the mahalich of the Prima Gadim to be miyashiv this year, Sif Gimel and Sif Hei, endorsed by the Bir Halacha. Now we're going to talk about the mahalich of the machtzis hashekel. Machtzis hashekel is on Simin Shin Yud Ches on Magen Avraham Chaf Vav. And so you probably haven't seen it yet. And when you get there, you'll have a chance to see it, but we'll at least introduce it now. So really, he holds that Kedera Gabi Kedera and Kedere Kanes are the same. Right? This whole chiluk of the Prima Gadim, that we're mechalik between Kedera and Kedera, because one is empty, one is full, that's very difficult. It introduces, it forces you to imagine all sorts of chidushim. No, a kedera is a kedera, full, empty, it's all the same. So what's the difference? The difference is, are we talking about something that is dry or something that has liquid in it? We're going to see Bezos Hashem Barichos, that there's, of course, a big debate among the Rishonim whether Yesh Bishalach HaBishal, Ein Bishalach HaBishal, but Bekitzer, we paskin Davar Lach, there is Bishalach HaBishal, Davar Yavesh, there isn't. So really, Sif Hei, which is Mekel, is talking about something dry. Sif Gimel, which is where we aser nesina lechatchila, is talking about something with a liquid. Even b'makom, there's no chash bishal. Like, for example, the liquid is still warm. According to the Rama and Ashkenazim Paskin, that even though ein bish, yesh bishalach bishal b'lach, if it's still warm, that needs to be defined what warm is, but if it's still warm, ein bishalach bishal. And so Sif Gimel is talking about a liquid that's warm. Sif Hei is talking about a solid, and therefore it's mutter even when cold. Now, where does he come up with this idea? So it's based off of a Magen Avraham, as I said, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Katan, Chaf Vav. Magen Avraham is really trying to be miyashiv the stira between Sif Zayin, where he brings two deos, and Sif Ches, where he's Mekel, Ayin Sham, and the Chiluk that the Magen Avraham presents, which the Machtzis HaShekel adopts to resolve this Stira, is between whether it's something that is liquid and something that is a solid. Now, Rav Avadia is very into this answer, the Machtzis HaShekel. He thinks that's the correct answer. And therefore, he thinks that as long as it's dry, Nesina L'chatchila, even on top of a Kederei Kanis or a Blech, would be mutter. In other words, we've been assuming until now, based off of the Prima Gadim, that you certainly can't do Nesina L'chatchila onto a Blech. Why? Because a Blech is no better than a Kederei Kanis. And a Kederei Kanis, the Shulchan Aruch says, Nesina L'chatchila is aser. But if you learn like this, Magen Avraham, Machtzis HaShekel, Rav Avadim Halech, so then it turns out that no, even on a Blech, you could do Nesina L'chatchila. As long as it's dry, you'd be allowed to take your kugel out of your refrigerator and put it onto your Blech. Now, if the Kederei Kanis, in other words, actually, you know, we mentioned before that the Rav said that Kederei Kanis and a Blech are the same thing, right? As he put it, the Kederei Kanis is just a crooked Blech. So Rav Avadia agrees to that. Just the Rav was saying why it's aser to do Nesina L'chatchila on both of them. And Rav Avadia is saying, no, that's why it's mutter to do Nesina L'chatchila on both of them, assuming that we're talking about something which is dry and not shayach to bishul. Now, you'll ask the shayla, well, why is the blech any better than grifo k'tima? We know garfakatum, you can't do Nesina L'chatchila, so why is a blech different? So the answer Rav Avadia says is that because sometimes you cook on top of a fire that's garfakatum, so therefore Nesina L'chatchila is aser, but nobody's mevashel on top of a blech, nobody's mevashel on top of a Kederei Kanis, and therefore it's mutter. Now I should point out that this answer is really only going to help for Sfardim. Why? Because again, you'll when you see this inside, you'll see what I mean, but it's based off the Magen Avraham over there, who is trying to be miyashiv the sheet of the Mechaber. But the Magen Avraham himself doesn't want to be Mechalik. In other words, the Magen Avraham is explaining that the Mechaber holds in the Sina L'chatchila is going to be mutter under certain circumstances, like the Blech. But the Magen Avraham says that we don't paskin like that Mechaber. So the Yishuv of the Magen Avraham will work to permit Sfardim to put something, the Sina L'chatchila, on top of a Blech. But it won't really help Lididan, who follow the ruling of the Magen Avraham himself. And that's why we Ashkenazim really accept the Yishuv of the Prima Gadim / Mishneh Berurah that Nesina L'chatchila on a Blech is aser. But as I said, there are those who are Mekel, and that's going to be very relevant. You might go to somebody's house and you'll see that they do a Nesina L'chatchila on a Blech. They just take their food out of the refrigerator and they put it on a Blech. So is there anything to rely on? So if it's dry food, like kugel or chicken without gravy or something like that, then they might, you know, I think that if they're Sfardi, it might be mutter l'chatchila. For Ashkenazim, even if it's aser l'chatchila, but b'diavad, one would say that it wouldn't be aser b'diavad, because l'maisas, as we've seen throughout the Mishneh Berurah again, the Magen Avraham again, in our siman points out that when there's a lenient view, again, does it mean every das yachid? No, but when there's a significant view who says something is mutter l'chatchila, then b'diavad we won't aser it. So over here, we could say that there is a significant view that keder agabe, that nesina l'chatchila is mutter agabe ablech, and therefore b'diavad it won't be aser. You could even try to argue, but I don't think this would be correct, that freshkenazim would be okay because nowadays, since nobody cooks on top of a blech, so it's lav derech bishul l'kach, and therefore it's mutter. It's like the keder agabe keder hatter. In other words, the only reason why the Mishneh Berurah Prima Gadim were so machmir about nesina l'chatchila on a blech is because they used to sometimes use a blech. We don't ever use a blech during the week. It's totally lav derech bishul l'kach, so it would be mutter. I don't think that's a correct argument because It's against the Shulchan Aruch and the Prima Gadim and the Magen Avraham. We seem to be dealing with categories, and the category of just covering the fire with metal is not enough. But again, b'di'evit, if someone did that, I think you'd be able to rely on that to eat the food. Now, so far we've been talking about creating a situation of k'tima through covering the fire, whether it's with an upside down pot or a blech or the like. What about covering the knobs? So one could argue that nowadays, since the whole idea of grifo k'tima is to prevent chitui, so what does chitui mean for us? Chitui for us doesn't mean stoking the coals, it means raising the fire. And how do you raise the fire? By turning the knobs on your stove. So memela, it would make a lot more sense to cover the knobs on the stove as opposed to covering the fire. Covering the fire made sense when the way you raised the fire was by stoking the coals. But where the way in which you raise the fire is by turning the knob, so wouldn't it make more sense to cover the knob? That is, in fact, the view that is attributed to Rav Aaron Cutler, that covering the knobs is sufficient. I imagine that the lamdus behind this view is that basically what he understood was that Garfa Kutum is creating a hecker to remind you not to stoke the coals, and therefore the modern day equivalent to that would be by covering the knob. Most poskim reject this. For one thing, like we said, the pashtus is it's not just a matter of a hecker, and number two is because Chachamim were misakein that it's aser to do, let's say, shahia or hachzar, if it's not garfa katam, and they defined ketima in a particular way, namely covering the fire, and those rules still apply. And even though we're somewhat willing to expand that, like Sif Gimel, the ktera fucha is a type of ketima not really mentioned in Shas, but still it's similar to the ones in Shas in the sense that it's memaitis a home somewhat, and it's covering the fire. So, for example, Rav Moshe, Or Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Tzadi Gimel writes that covering the knobs don't work. His lesson is, Zeh levad shichasa ha-koftorim, velo esha'esh lo yo'il, sha'ikr hu shetzarach lahar'os, shedaito lehafchis, shezeh nira yoser b'kisui ha'esh. So you see that the reason why he's objecting, I think, is saying it's not just a hecker, but you have to be megala das that you're mesiach das milachdos. And that's accomplished more by covering the fire than by covering the knobs. If it was just a hecker, so then maybe the other position would make sense. What's interesting is that Rav Moshe and many poskim say, but it's worthwhile to be machmir to also cover the knobs. Whether it's a nod to Rav Aaron Cutler Shita or some, it makes sense that this will make sure and ensure that you don't raise the fire. So ideally, the best way to do grifa l'ktima nowadays is to do both, is to cover the fire, or let's say in the case of a slow cooker, to cover the heating element, and also to cover the knobs. But mikra din, all you really need to do is cover the heat. Now, is there anything that you could do to, and again, just covering the knobs will not make a garfa katan, won't really change anything. If it was aser, it's still aser. And if it's, but is there any way that maybe covering the knobs can do something, even ledidan? So the answer is maybe. Even though covering the knobs does not give it the status of garfa katam, maybe it could give it the status of tach betit. So what is the idea of tach betit? So the idea comes from a sugya on daf yud ches on the base. The Gemara over there basically tells us that you're allowed to do shahia of basar in a tanner that's not garfa katam if the opening to this tanner is mechusa betit. You seal it with tit somehow. Now, why is that mutter? What difference does that make that you're mechasa betit? Take a look at the Rambam, Gimel Yud Gimel. He writes that we're talking about a certain type of meat that ruach will be mazik it. In other words, if you open up this oven and allow the cold air to come onto this meat, then somehow or another it's mazik the food. And therefore, once you're toch betit, there's no concern of grifa uktim. There's no concern that you're going to do bimachata begachalim, and therefore grifa uktima is not enough. So if you learn like the Rambam, this sugif toch betit is totally irrelevant for us. Okay, I don't know, maybe if you know, we don't have any such foods that I know of. But if you learn like Rashi over there, it might be very relevant. Rashi over there, Dir Masal Sharik, says that the pshat is that the toch betit makes it into a tircha to go ahead and open the oven in order to stoke the coals, right? Because you have to go through this whole layer of tit. Now, obviously, it's not a huge tircha because eventually you're going to do this, right? You need to open your oven. But it presents a certain type of barrier. And therefore, when you have that barrier, because it's a pain to open this up. So then by the time you open up the oven, you're going to remember, oh, right, it's Shabbos. I can't be mechata b'gechalim. And therefore it's mutter to do, in this case, let's say shehia in the tanur, even though it's not garva kantam, and even though normally she in a tanur is aser. So according to that understanding of Rashi, then maybe this is very relevant for us. Maybe we could create that type of situation for us. For example, Ray Willig thinks, maybe if you put a bunch of pieces of tape on the knobs of a stove or knobs of a warmer or knobs of a crock pot, then that's not going to be garfa katam, like we said, but it's going to be like tach betit, because you can't just take off all the pieces of tape at once. You can't just... if you just put one piece of tape, that's worthless because not garfa katam, and just rip off the tape and change the knobs. But let's say I put multiple pieces of tape such that I can't just rip it off at once. I'd have to remove the multiple pieces of tape. So then maybe it would achieve garfa toch betit as defined by Rashi. So how do we paskin? So if you look in Siman Reish Nun Dalet Sif Aleph, the Machaber paskins like the Rambam. So this won't help us, but the Rama paskins like Rashi, b'yeshovrim debetanor tuach betit hakol shari. So, therefore, we might argue that if there is some type of tircha to remove the tape, or certainly if you remove the knobs entirely, so then that would be okay. The Bir Halacha over there, Reish Nun Dalet, Dibur Maschil Afalpi, seems to make this point. Now, he doesn't talk about our case of pieces of tape, but the presentation of the sugya thus far, that if it's a burden, like equivalent to removing the plaster, it should be okay. So that's the basis of Rabbi Willig's kula. Willig's kula is that toch betit is achieved by anything that creates a tircha to be able to adjust the knobs, and that could include several pieces of tape. Now, you could put several pieces of tape that could just be taken off all at once, or you could just like turn your knob, you know, especially if it's like masking tape. On the other hand, if it's, you know, duct tape, so then probably it would be a tircha. So this is, and Ray Willig isn't the only makel here. The Chazon Ish, it's Simen Lamed Vav, Sifkatan Gimel, and also Simen Lamed Ches, Sifkatan Beis, writes that if you made some type of lock, that you actually locked your oven shut, that would be equivalent to Toch Betit. Even though you have the key, right? But, you know, by the time you get the key, it's similar to what we say in Pesach about locking the cabinets and things like that. And I think what you see from the Chazon Ish is it's not even that much of a tircha as much as there's a whole, you know, a process that has to be done. And by the time, you know, you do that process, you're going to wake up and you're not going to accidentally be mechata b'gechalim. One would imagine, I would have thought, that the same thing would be true if you remove the button. And this is actually pretty easy with our stoves. Our stoves, at least the stoves, all the stoves I've ever owned, you can pull, they have like plastic buttons, and you can just pull off the plastic buttons. Every year I always do that when cleaning for Pesach. So we pull off the plastic buttons to wash them, and it also makes covering the stove a little easier. Then you put them back on. So that would be l'chora a good eitzah. That's what I would have thought. And Rav Vosner says the same thing. This is quoted in a letter at the back of Orcho Shabbos, page Tuf Kuf Tes Zayin. Not all poskim are so into this. The Mincha Shlomo, Shlomo Zalman Arba, Chelik Beis, Simen Lamed Aleph, Sifkat Nchaf Aleph, writes, nah, it's hard to be machriya. In other words, who says taking off the pulling off the buttons is the same thing as tachbetit? We know in Chazal, tachbetit, that's okay. Maybe tachbetit is more of a tircha, and therefore it's insufficient. Rav Yashiv is also machmir, quoted in Reish Nun Gimel Dirshu note 25. Now we have to point out that all this only would potentially remove the issue of chashash chitui. It does not help at all in terms of mechzik mevashel. Meaning to say, I could go ahead and say, okay, if I pull off the knob of my stove, I'm allowed to do shehiya. Okay, maybe even less than Michael Ben Drusai, right? Because it's dino kigar fakatum, sumir meko, right? But there's still an issue of machzik mevashel. It doesn't address that problem at all. However, if there's no machzik mevashel for a different reason, then nesina l'chatchila could be okay. So let's say I have a warming platter, warming plate. So we already said over there, at least according to Rabbi Willig, there's no concern in machzik mevashel or plata. These are meant, because these are not meant for cooking. Nobody ever cooks on them. Even if they're capable of cooking, there's no machzik mevashel. They're kishmo kein hu, warming, right? So therefore, if they, I go ahead and I remove the button, so then nesina l'chatchila will be mutter. There's no machzik mevashel because it's a warming plate. There's no chashash chitui because you've covered the, you've removed the buttons, again, according to Rabbi Willig, according to Rav Vosner, or even if you didn't remove the buttons, but you covered the buttons, according to Rabbi Willig, with a bunch of pieces of tape going in different directions, such that you can't pull them off all at once, then that's going to be mutter. So going back to your question, Yoni Rabinovich, so you asked today, so you said, we have a warming plate that has knobs, not the Israeli kind, the American kind. So, you know, it has, let's say, low, medium, and high. So are you allowed to do nesina l'chatchila here? In other words, there's no chashash of machzik mevashel, because even on high, it's still meant for warming. But according to Rabbi Willig, that is, but maybe there's still a chashash of shema yichata. So how could you get rid of shema yichata? So the answer is, could you just put a piece of tape on the knob? No, you cannot. That's not enough. As we've seen, putting a tape on a knob doesn't get rid of the chashash shema yichata. So what you could do, though, according to Rabbi Willig, you could either remove the knob if that's possible, or if not, take a bunch of pieces of tape and put them in different directions such that now, and probably that, you know, you don't mind because you probably, you always use it at the same temperature every week, right? Low, medium, high, whatever. It's not like every week you're switching. So decide the way you want it to be forever. And then take some pieces of duct tape and put them on in different directions. And then you basically created for yourself the Israeli version of a hot plate. And that's what I would recommend. We talked about the question of, you know, before Shir today about whether you even need to go that far. Could you say that since there's no, you know, what if you covered it? Would you? So then it's garfakatum plus not mechzik mevashel, is that okay? But we said maybe that's not so pashut, because even though, remember, the Mishnah Brura thinks that to be mat chazara is aser. Ikar reason is because of machzikim of ashal. That's the reason he gives in the Mishnah Berurah. But in Shartzi, and he also quotes the Mahalich of Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a greater chashash chitui even when it's garfa katam, right? That's why, in other words, Hachzara, when it's aser, is aser because of Zer Sham Yechata, and it's aser even when it's Garf HaKatam. So even if Garf HaKatam works to prevent the Chashash Chitoi Legabe Shehia, it doesn't necessarily Legabe Hachzara, and therefore, the better thing to do in your case would be to do this. So if you want to do Nesin L'Chatchil on your type of hot plate, what I would recommend, Yoni, is that you you do the thing with the multiple pieces of tape, which, again, would be Mutter. But I will also say a similar thing, just 1 second, with respect to warming drawers. So warming drawers, Moshe pointed out after Shir last time, not everybody knows what a warming drawer is. So a warming drawer is, I've also never owned one. So I don't have much experience with them, but my understanding is, I've seen them, is that they are basically, they look like a drawer. They look like a drawer. Sometimes they're like under your oven. Sometimes they're just in your counters or cabinets, but they look like a drawer, and you open them up, you put the food in, and you close them to warm. Basically, it's an oven. Just the oven doesn't get very hot. It goes up to 200, 250, I don't know exactly. And the point is that it's like a low heat oven, that's meant for warming. Kishmokenu, it's a warming drawer. So if you want to do shehia in that, okay, that's pretty cool. Why? Because if we're dealing with something that's anyway mevushal kol tzarko, so then shehia is mutter, even if it's not garfa katam. So shehia in a warming drawer, no problem. But if you want to do hachzara into a warming drawer, certainly nesin l'chatchil, we have a big problem because they're not garfa katam. So how are you going to make them garfa katam? So maybe you'll say, okay, well, I'm going to put a upside down aluminum pan on the bottom of my warming drawer. The bottom of the source of heat in these warming drawers, at least some of them, is coming from the bottom. So you put a upside down baking sheet on the bottom of your warming drawer. Now it's garfa katam. Great, perfect solution. So Ulrich says, no, that's not going to work. Why? Because it's not at all visible. Even though garfa katam we paskin means that it has to cover the source of heat, but it also has to be visible in some way. It has to serve as some form of hecker. Now, is this taking a stand on the debate that we had before? Maybe. We're choshish that it has to be muchach mitoch ma'isav and also a hecker. That might be true. Either way, this is not going to help. Why? Because when the warming drawer is closed, you don't see that upside down pan, right? Let's imagine I wanted to raise the temperature in my warming drawer. You know, my guests showed up early. I want to speed things up. I want to bring it from 180 to 200. So what do? I press the button. I press 200 and it goes up. The fact that my flame is covered or the heating source is covered inside the warming drawer is totally unknown to me. So that cannot be garfa katam. Garfa katam has to be nicker to you such that it will remind you not to warm things up. That has to be similar to the grifuktim and chazal. So that's fine for a stove, right? Because a stove, when you have a blech, you see the blech, right? When you go to your stove and you're going to warm up your food, you're going to increase the heat on the fire, even though the knobs aren't covered, but the flame is covered. You see the flame, your pot's on top of the blech, on top of the flame, that's nicker. But here, it's totally un-nicker, right? Think about it in your oven. So let's imagine somebody in their own oven, they went ahead and they put a upside down pot on the bottom of their oven, right? That would not create garfa katam. Again, we talked about this a couple times ago, but halacha l'maisa, certainly we would not. So therefore, what do you need to do? You need to cover the bottom of the oven in a way that now it's nicker such when you'd want to raise the heat. So what could you do? Well, you could take some aluminum foil and put it in the bottom of the warming drawer, assuming aluminum foil works, and then extend that aluminum foil going out of the drawer all the way down, hanging out and to the buttons. So, okay, if that works for you, then Ray Willig thought that would be okay. And you create a Garf Cotton. But nobody wants that. Nobody wants to sit, you know, take a 4-foot piece of aluminum foil and having it stick out of their warming drawer. Nobody's very happy with that. So you'll say, okay, well, look, I'll make a Hecker. I'll cover the knobs. I'll do both. I'll cover the knobs and I'll cover the bottom of the warming drawer, right? So I have both. Call a Deus, right? With Aaron Cutler, with Moshe. So no, because that is still zero. 0 + 0 = 0. Covering the bottom of the stove, like we said, is nothing. Covering the knobs is nothing. You haven't done the Hecker of Chazal, and therefore it's not considered Garf HaKatan. So, you know, it's true. You might remember not to raise the button. You could also put a red string around your finger and say, oh, this is a reminder that I shouldn't raise the button. Nobody's going to say that that helps you. So, practically speaking, creating Garf HaKatan in these warming drawers is quite unwieldy and unusual. Maybe it's possible, depending on where your buttons are, that you could have the aluminum foil coming out from the covering the bottom of the warming drawer and then coming out of the warming drawer and then covering the buttons. If you could figure out a way to do that, then it would work, and then the Sina L'chatchila would be mutter, but that's not very likely. However, you could use a warming drawer if it is tach betit. So if you go ahead and you put a bunch of pieces of tape on the knobs or on the buttons of the warming drawer, then Rabbi Willig thinks that Nesina L'chatchila would be okay. So that is an Eitzah for warming drawers. It's not an Eitzah that a lot of people like because they don't want to start putting bunch of pieces of tape onto their buttons, onto their warming drawers. People with warming drawers usually have fancy kitchens and they don't like that type of thing. So, but in theory, that's going to be okay. Now you'll say a different problem, but isn't that a problem of tocho? Right? Isn't that a problem of tocho? We know that even achzar is asar b'tocho, even if it's garf katam, even if all the other k'naim are met. But the answer is toch petit would seem to permit even b'tocho. Now, again, we mentioned before the Chazon Ish, and it does sound like the Chazon Ish doesn't think Tach Betit would be Matir Nesina L'chatchila, but Rabbi Willig thinks it should, and that relates to the Shvus Yitzchak that we quoted last time, that as long as you've solved the problems of Nesina L'chatchila and Gzeira Shamichata, it's going to be okay. It's no different from Kedera Gabi Kedera. So that's, in theory, the way that you could do Nesina L'chatchila in a warming drawer on Shabbos. A similar thing might be relevant also for warmers. Most people don't have warmers in their house. This is relevant more in terms of an industrial setting, like for simchas and things, but that's a similar type of idea could apply to that as well. Warmers, assuming they're warmers that are all warmers, they're not meant for cooking. So then if they're really only meant for warming, not for cooking, and you created a matziv of tach betit, then the sina l'chatchila into the warmer should be okay. Yes, Yoni, sorry, I was interrupting you before.
No. So let me just mention this like 5 seconds ago with the Chazon Ish. I didn't understand, if we go back to my case, why tach betit is going to match in the sina l'chatchila any more than covering the knobs. How do you know that the sina l'chatchila is mutter?
We are choshesh. So I think the idea is like this. We are choshesh that regular garf katam, I don't want to say we, it would seem to me that the Mishnah Brura, by quoting Rabbeinu Tam in the Shaar HaTzion, by the reason for the Yisr Hachzara, is being Zer Hashem Yichata, as well as but by quoting both reasons in the Shaar HaTzion is telling us that we are choshish for the position of Tosfos, that grifa uktima doesn't, so, though it gets rid of the chash mech of gzera shemichata with respect to shehia, but it's not, doesn't 100% get rid of the chash shemichata. right? And that's why hachzara is aser, even when it's gafra katam, if the conditions aren't met. So,
but how do we, right?
Yeah. So, but what at the same time, and maybe that's sort of somewhat implied that lechatchila the Rama says we should be choshish for tosfos, that hachzara is aser in Erev Shabbos, which presumably is consistent with the view of Tosfos that Achzar is Asar al Sechir Shavichata, right? Good. Now, if that's true, so you might have gone so far as to say that Nesina Chatchila should always be Asar, right? That would make sense, right? Except we know that's not true because we paskin like the Rashban Sif, hey, that K'der Rabbi K'der Nesina Chatchila is Mutter. Would Tosos agree to that? Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe Tosos would say, no, k'der agabi k'deira, there's a chshash of gzer shemichata. Why? Because the bottom fire isn't even mechusa, other than with the bottom pot. So maybe it would be aser. So it's possible. But l'maisa were matir. L'maisa were matir. So what that tells me is that we are willing to be matir in the sin al chatchila if two conditions are met. Number one, lack of mechzi kimevashel, fine. So that's achieved with the warming plate. Number two, no chash chitui. However, we might say that for nesina l'chatchila, we insist on a higher removal of chash chitui. Not just garfa katam, but something a little more. So how much is more? What do you need? Well, we know k'der agabi k'deira works. But what else? So we're not sure because we don't have klalim. The Gemara doesn't tell us what is needed to preclude that. So therefore, we have a higher standard. We're going to say that we're only going to not be concerned about gzeira shem yichat in that case when chitu is impossible. So what does impossible mean? So if you remove the knobs, it's impossible. So therefore, removing the knobs on a warming plate is going to permit nesina l'chatchila, right? Or in the case of plata, there are no knobs. Also, we're going to be matir. But simply covering the knobs, I don't know. Covering the knobs, as we saw before, it does nothing. It's not even garfakatum. One even matir shahia. Well, what about covering the knobs and covering the heating source? Less clear. Rabbi Willig sounded like he was willing to be makel on that shaila, right? And that's why he was willing to be makel that if you have that in the warming drawer, if you have the aluminum foil covering the heating element plus the knobs in one piece, it would be okay. So according to that, it would seem to me that in your hot plate, if you took a piece of aluminum foil and with a single piece covered the heating element plus the knobs, that would be okay. You couldn't do it separately, but it would be okay. So why was I hesitant to suggest that? Two reasons. Number one is we saw that many poskim don't think aluminum foil is good enough because it's not even garfa katam because it so negligibly affects the heat. And that view is cited by a number of poskim, for example, both in the Nadir Shuwen and the Orchov Shabbos. And number two is, like we've been seeing, the idea that the Mishnah Berurah maybe is choshish for Shitas Tosfos, that the chshash chitui for hachzara / nesina l'chatchila is greater. And therefore, just because you've covered the heating element, but that doesn't necessarily matir nesina l'chatchila. Now, as I mentioned, I don't think Rabbi Willig is choshish for that view. I think he thinks that based off of Sif Hey, we think that as long as there's no chshash of mechzi kemevashel, then the regular grief of ektima would be sufficient, right? So therefore it would seem, I think, according to Rabbi Willig, if you took aluminum foil and you covered the hot plate plus the knobs in one piece, that would be okay. But it would be more advisable to do the tachbetit, because tachbetit sounds like it solves all concerns with chitoy. Plus, it would solve the problem or the question of whether aluminum foil is enough. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, and maybe just a follow-up. When you remove the knob, so do you still have a little like metal tiny piece the knob attaches to, which you could theoretically turn?
Theoretically, like take out a pliers, but that's the same thing. Okay, so Dove is asking the question, same question that he texted on Friday, which is, do you have to be worried about the thermostat? So let's talk about that briefly. We talked about this when we did Zoraya. And we had this at the end of Shir on Friday also. We, meaning Rabbi Willig, among others, thinks that we accept the position that a psik resha begrama is mutter. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains that's why it's mutter to have a refrigerator on Shabbos, even though every time you open the refrigerator, the temperature will rise and the motor will turn on earlier. So nevertheless, it's a psik resha begrama, and they were matir in that case. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is fully endorses this view with respect to an Issur D'Rabbanan, like opening a fridge. He's more hesitant about a potential Issur D'Oraisa, like an oven. But in the end of the day, we're makel even for an oven, and that's why it's mutter to, for example, open the front door of your house, even though the heat's on. For example, yesterday it was freezing outside, right? So I opened up my front door, and a stream of cold air entered my house. Okay, that dropped the temperature of my house. That's going to cause my heater to turn on earlier. Mamish nisur d'oraisa. I have a gas furnace, right? Why is that mutter? Because it's a psik resha begrama. It's not like when I open my house door immediately, the temperature drops so much that the furnace goes on immediately. It will happen sooner. If I hadn't opened the door, maybe it would go on in 10 minutes. Now it's going to go on in 9 minutes, right? But that's still considered a psik resha begrama, as we explained when we did Melacha Zoraya. So now applying that to an oven, the question is going to be how sensitive your oven is. If your oven is a sensitive oven, such that every time you open the door of the oven, immediately the heat goes on, so then it would be usher. Now it's not a psik resha begrama anymore. It's not grama. So it's going to be usher. But if it doesn't immediately go on, there's some type of delay. I mean, it's conceivable it will go on immediately if it's at the threshold, but you don't know. So that's a suffix. It's a yefshe levayer. So it's a suffix psik resha, maybe. But might immediately go on, or most likely, it's not immediately going to go on. It's going to go on in a minute, in 2 minutes, in 3 minutes. It'll go on sooner than before, but it's not likely to go on immediately. So then it's going to be, if you're makel by refrigerators, and again, as we talked about, not everybody's makel by refrigerators, but if you're makel by refrigerators because of the lamdas of psik resha begrama, as Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach explains, so too with respect to an oven. So if you want to figure out whether you're allowed to open up your refrigerator or you're allowed to open up your oven, you have to figure out how sensitive it is. So the reason why all refrigerators used to be okay, according to Shlomo Zalman, but now many aren't, is because many of the new fancy refrigerators are much more sensitive in various ways, such that things happen immediately. And that's why for many of the newer refrigerators, you need Shabbos mode, and you have to make sure that Shabbos mode addresses that point. So what about your oven? So you have to test your oven. How do you test your oven? Go ahead. And now you could only test your oven if you could tell when it's on or off. How do you tell if it's on or off? Sometimes you could see it. Sometimes you could hear it. in the ovens that I've tested two ovens in my life to see if they could be opened on Shabbos. And both ovens that I have tested were not a psik resha. The vast majority of the time when I opened it, it did not go on immediately. Again, sometimes a little sooner, sometimes a little longer, sometimes it was 1 minute, sometimes it was 5 minutes, but there was no immediate reaction. So I cannot say about more than in general, one would have to test your ovens. Certainly the stakes here are much higher than a refrigerator, because even if it's fundamentally the same shiloh, like we noted, it's a deraisa shiloh, it's not a derabanan shiloh. So you need to check your oven and make sure that it doesn't go on basically immediately every time you open your oven. When it comes to a warming drawer, you'd have to check that as well. I don't know actually how you check a warming drawer, because I've never owned a warming drawer. And I don't even know if you'd be able to tell if the heating element is on or off or the like. So you'd have to figure out a way if you could test the warming drawer. But I don't have any experience with that. Okay, does that answer your question, Dov? Excellent. So now, let's just make one point quickly. Is there any tzad to be matir hachzara b'mitzdamek viralo, even if the normal conditions to permit hachzara aren't there? The tour is machmir, there's a view of the Ran as well, and the Beis Yosef is medayik this way from the Rambam, though the Nosek Halem and the Rambam disagree with this point. There are some Mekilim, like the Ran and the Ritva, but we are machmir on that shiloh. And therefore, mitzdamek v'ralo, though it permits shihia l'kulei alma, even according to Chananya, even according to Rabbanan, but it doesn't really have any effect in terms of hachzara. And the easiest way to explain that is because we paskin that the problem with hachzara be'isur is because of machzik mevashel, and memela, that isn't accomplished here. In other words, still machzik mevashel, even though it's mitzdamek v'ralo. Even if you're going to say there's no chashchitui from mitzdamek v'ralo, so therefore, maybe if you hold that the reason for the isurei hachzara relate to chitui, so then it's going to be okay. But if you hold that they have to do with machzik mevashel, so it makes a lot of sense that we would paskin the chumra that this is asur. Okay, so let's turn to the conditions that, we've sort of gone a little bit out of order here. The conditions that are needed to be matir hachzara normally. So what are they? The Mishnah, as we know, says that you need garfa katam. Good, so it's pasha, you're going to need garfa katam to be matir hachzara. And obviously, it doesn't even need to be stated that hachzara can only be mutter if there's no chash bishel. So that means that the food, the way we paskin, has to be fully cooked. And if it's cold, it would have to be dry. And if it's it could even be cold. If it's liquidy, it would have to still be warm. Those details we'll get when we get to Simen Shin Yud Ches. The Gemara, though, on Daf Lamed Ches, on the base, adds some additional conditions. You need Daitul Hachsir and Ode Biado. Now, And moreover, if you put it on the floor, now we're getting a big audience here for sure. So if you put it on the floor, so then it's going to be a problem. Why is putting it on a floor a problem? So Rashi there explains, because then batli lahatmana de esmal fahave kematmin lachatrila. Now Rashi's formulation reflects his position, as we've seen throughout the parak, connecting our parak to dine hatmana. Why is it mutter? Then, let's say it's Ode Biado and Daitul Hachzir. So it's mutter because, as Rashi explains, it's a hemshech of the original Hatmana, or again, for our purposes, the Shehiyah, and therefore it's going to be okay. Okay, guys, I'm in the middle of Shir. So do you want to go outside now? Yeah? You want to take Yitzi also? You want to go outside with Cheli?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. And then after Shir, you could come back here, okay? I sure hope that wasn't Gnev Astas and that he didn't think that going outside meant like going outside literally. But okay, so the goal of the Tanaim to permit Asara, as we saw in Rashi, is to show that this is a hamshach of what was happening earlier. Now, if the concern for, so let's talk about what we've been talking about until now. We've been saying that there's two, when it's usher, there's two possible concerns. The mainstream view is mechzi kemevashel. The minority position is because of a higher chash of chitui. So we're going to have to go ahead and address those two concerns. So that's why the Shaar Tzion, for example, Lamed Zayin points out that according to Reino Tam, the pshat is that there's a higher concern of chitui when it comes to hachzara. And therefore, because of that, grief of the ktima doesn't get rid of the concern of chitui. You need the other conditions to be met, like odabiyado, datul hachzir, whatever they are. Whereas if you hold like the other rishonim, so all you need is to get rid of the concern of mechzik mevashel. Now, we said before that Rabbi Willig holds that the only concern we have here for hachzara is mechzik mevashel once it's garf v'katub, right? There's no higher level of concern for chitui. All there is once it's garf v'katub is mechzik mevashel. And even though that might not be the view of Rabbeinu Tam, as the Shaar Tzion points out in Os Lamed Zayin, Rabbi Willig argues that this is the view of almost all the Rishonim. He makes a diuk this way from the Rosh, from the Balamor, from the Chidushi Aran, and others. If you want to take a look in this book, it's on page 10 in the back of the book. In other words, in the Hebrew Os Yud, in the Hebrew essays in the back, take a look. And he argues that this is the view of almost all the Rishonim, and that informs his position that we were just talking about before in terms of the warming drawer, in terms of Yoni's question about why he thinks that we really only have to address the issue of Mechzik Mevashel, again, seemingly as opposed to the view of the Shaar Tzion Lamed Zayin, who seems to also be concerned for the view of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, so if you have daitul hachzir and odabiyado, then it's certainly okay. What about if you have only some of these? So this is a machlokes rishonim. The Rambam is machmir on those original questions, but then meiko on the final teiko. The Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, explains that the reason why we're machmir, even though you would have thought to be meiko, because it's a din derabanan, is because it's karov lavo lidei yisur deraisa. But at the same time, since ultimately it's a din derabanan, we could be meiko on the teiko. The Sefer HaTruma is even more meiko, and all you need is daitol hachzir. We could be meiko on the shaila because it's in the din derabanan. The Ramaz Machmir on the Shaila, because the Rif and the Gaonim and the Tur, they're all Machmir, that you need both Tanayim. And therefore, on every possible question, we follow the stringent view. As opposed to the Shulchan Aruch, who follows the middle view of the Rambam. So therefore, it's only Aser when you put it on a Karka, but not if you put it on something in between. So how do we paskin bottom line, at least Ashkenazim? So l'chatchila, as we said, we're going to require both odabiyado and daitul hachzir. That's the view of the Ramah. So to be matir, chazar l'chatchila, you have to hold it in your hands, you have to have intent to return it. Shasa tzorach, so then we could rely on the Shulchan Aruch, who says that as long as you have odabiyado, it's okay. What about if you put it down on a mita o safsal and daitul hachzir? So the Shulchan Aruch is Megill, then what about if it's you don't even have that? In other words, Hiniach Agabe Karka plus Daitul Hachzir. So here, the Bir Halacha says, well, maybe we could be Samech on the position of the Sefer HaTruma, but all, which is even more Megill than the Shulchan Aruch, but he doesn't really want to be Megill. It's hard to paskin against the Shulchan Aruch, as he notes in the Shaar HaTzion. It's against most Rishonim. And therefore, really, if Hiniach Agabe Karka, even b'diavad, you should be machmir. But he says, maybe, in a tzorach gadol, if you have daito l'hachzir, to be megal. Okay, that's not usually our question, because we don't usually put things down on the floor anyway. So the real question that we have to figure out is, what is the status of your counter? Is counter like putting it on the karka, in which case, then, you know, in mess-ups, you're going to be stuck? Or perhaps we could say the counter is like the safsal in the Gemara, in which case, if you have daito l'hachzir, there's more room to be makel on two levels. L'chatchila, maybe, if it's very heavy to hold in your hands. And also b'diaved, as we saw before. So how do you look at the counter? So what does it depend on? Well, it sort of depends on how you look at this safsal business in the Gemara. You see, if the safsal was only there, you'd only put something on the safsal if you're planning to put it back in the oven. So then one would say that our counter should be like a karka, because a lot of times, you know, we take something out of the oven and we put it down on the counter. However, if you say no, that the problem with the karka is that's like a definitive act saying you're done. So then you could say that our counters are more like the safsal, because sometimes you do take them out of the oven and put it on the counter, and then you do put it back. So the question basically is, how do we look at the svara? And this is a machlokas in the achronim, how to deal with it. Most poskim, I think, are makel, and they say that the counter has the din of a safsal. This is the view of Shlomo Zalman Orvach and Rav Eliashiv, among others. Though there are those who are machmir. So lemaisa, if you take something off of a covered flame and you want to be machzir, so ideally you should do let's say that you can't do Odebiadu in a literal way. In other words, you can't hold it because it's very heavy. You don't have enough people. Then you could be Somech on the Mekilim if you put on the counter and you keep one hand on it. That's also Motar L'chatchila. Though not everybody accepts that. Some say Odebiadu means literally you're holding it. But here, many say Odebiadu is achieved when it's in your hands, plus, like we said, counters might not like be like karka anyway, and then you could do that. Now, the big question, though, that comes up is another condition that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, which is that it needs to be hot. And the question is, why does it need to be hot? This condition is not mentioned in the Gemara at all. So why should it need to be hot? Where does this condition come from? The Torah mentions this condition. And if you look at the Mefarshim on the Torah, they debate why the Torah says this. Where did he get it from? Seems to be a machlokas between the Beis Yosef and the Bach. And the question basically comes down to whether this condition of the Torah, that it has to be hot, is this a Tanai in Chazara? Or no, is he just saying it has to be hot because we would otherwise be choshish for Bishul? So what does each one say? If you take a look at the Bach at the end of Os Yud Gimel, he's medayik that even if there's no chshash Bishul, there still needs it still needs to be hot. In other words, even if it's, let's say, a dry thing, there still needs to be heat, according to the Torah. That's, I guess, the most simple reading of the Torah, because the Torah says it has to be hot without giving any limitations. However, the Beis Yosef assumes, no, that it's not mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. So if there's a need, if there's a condition, it has to be one that we could know without the Gemara. And we know that there can't be Bishul. So when he says it needs to be hot, it just means it has to be a situation where there's no chashash Bishul. But there's no independent need for it to be hot. So that is their debate. The logic that it would need to be hot is because, like Rashi says, it has to be a hamshech of the original shehiya or hatmana. But on the other hand, the pashtus is still like the Beis Yosef, that since the Gemara doesn't mention that condition, then mechatesi. Again, presumably, the Bach would say back, it's true, it's not in the Gemara, but it's obvious. If you're going to say that you need possibly od biyado and daitu l'hachzir to make it a hemshech of the original shehiya / hatmana, so kavachomer would still need to be hot. If it's been out for so long that it's cooled down, obviously it wouldn't be a hemshech. But Lamaisa, the Beis Yosef seems to be making, as long as there's no chash bishul, there's no additional requirement that it be hot. And this is the view of a number of Rishonim, among them the real Milunil on Lamed Ches on the base. Others among the Rishonim are Machmir, and this, among them the Ritva, Lamed Ches on the base, Dimaschal Vasikna, also Lamed Ches on Aleph, Dimaschal Kol, Sherasicha. The Ritva seems to learn like this Pashtus of the Torah, that it's one of the Tanai Chazara. So Lamaisa the Poskim are Mako. How do we Paskin? So it seems to be a Machlokas. If you look at the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Lamed Vav, he seems to be Machmir on this Shaila. But if you look at the Magen Avraham, Sif Katan Yotes, where the Halachos of Chazar are stated, he's Mekel on this Shaila. Lamed Vav is talking about that complicated situation that we talked about last time. We'll get to next time in terms of the Ramah and Sif Hay, where he's, again, we'll get to the details. But B'Makomo, at least, Magen Avraham Sif Katan Yotes is Mekel. And the Gra is explicitly Mekel. It's a Sifkam Katan Lamites and Sifkatan Samach Dalid. The Gra is Mekel. The Bir Halacha is Nota Lahakel. And again, maybe even the Magen Avraham is Mekel, though there's this Stira in the Magen Avraham. Later on, next time we'll present a Yishuv for the Stira in the Magen Avraham. The Taz also Sifkatan Nun Gimel sounds like he's Mekel. And the Mishnah Brura, Sifkatan Nun Gimel Sosim Lahakel. And therefore, therefore, when it's dry, even if it were to be cold, it would be mutter. And when it's lach, even if it is, if it's less than yatsa lettuce bow, as long as it's not nitzan in lagamre, it's going to be mutter. And that's also implied by the, well, what's interesting is the Ramah, who says that since we are noheg like the Ran, again, we pointed out one shouldn't follow the Ran, but the Ramah writes, since we're noheg like the Ran, so only if it's hot. So that's in Sif Hei. The question is that alt bishul, or is that some type of pshara? So that's where the Magen Avraham might be saying it's some type of pshara. Rav Moshe, I think, writes that even if you're somech on the Ran, you shouldn't be somech on the Ran plus the Gra. In other words, if you're going to be somech on the Ran, then you should at least have the Magen Avraham that it stay warm. In other words, you wouldn't be able to, one would not be able to, let's say, even though the Ramah writes that the minig is like the Ran. So according to the Ran, would you be able to, let's say, have your kugel on your blech Friday night, take it out Friday night, eat it, put it in the fridge, put it back on Shabbos morning? Would that be mutter according to the Ramah, who says that the minhag is like the Ran? So Rav Moshe says no, because in that case, will be choshesh that one of the, even though according to the Ran, that's begeder chazara, even though you put it in the fridge, but since it was on the fire at the beginning of Shabbos, it's begeder achzara, but still one would have to be machmir, because you have to follow the machmir version of the Ran, namely what the Magen Avraham says, that it has to be hot, not just alts bishul, but alts tanai chazara. So if you hold like Rav Moshe, then the whole chap of the Ran is out the window. On the other hand, they say from the Rav that he was Mekel, and as we saw before, the Pashtus, the Gra's Mekel as well. This isn't so Lamaisa anyway, because we're not Choshesh. As we said before, we shouldn't rely on the Ran regardless. I'll leave you off with one interesting hara, which we won't answer now, but just because you should see it. Super geschmack. There's a Rekiv Eger who deals with the shayla of Ein Adam Oser Davar Shenu Shalo over here. And it's a very fundamental Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the way he presents the sugya. So you should take a look at it. It's an interesting shaila. I'll give you a variation of the question, and then I will not tell you the answer. Maybe next time we'll do the answer, but you should look at Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the meantime. So the presentation of the shaila is like this. Let's say a kid decides to take off the challenge Friday night and give his friends. He has no idea what he's doing. He puts it down. He puts it on the counter. He puts it on the floor. He doesn't have dadrachser. He does have all these variations. So l'chora, there's nothing, you can't put it back, right? We don't want to be so mechal sefer truma. But could you say no? Ein adam osa dav shen shalo. So his decision, let's say, not to have daito l'achzir, can't asar it on me. So I would be able to put it back. Or no. So I am Sham Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the tenth of Nachas. Be'ezus Hashem, on Wednesday, we're going to pick up. I'll be in yeshiva. So I'm sorry for all these Zoom shiurim. I know that they're not as gishmak. Be'ezus Hashem, in person on Wednesday, let's say at 1 o'clock. Okay, 1 o'clock, in person on Wednesday. Okay, Chef, have a great day.